this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our call-in talk number here is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Eight soldiers flying home from Iraq for 2 weeks of R&R, rest and relaxation. They flew in style instead of coach. This according to the Associated Press out of Dallas. First-class passengers swapped seats with them. What a neat story. That is so great. The soldiers were very, very happy, and the whole aircraft had a different feeling, a flight attendant told the Dallas Morning News for today's editions. This happened on June 29th, but we've only learned about it now, on American Airlines Flight 866 from Atlanta to Chicago. And it started before boarding when a businessman approached one of the soldiers and traded his seat. When the swapping was done, the other two first-class passengers wanted to give up their seats, but they couldn't find any more soldiers. That's so cool. That's just great. Another flight attendant said she was impressed with the passengers and said these soldiers got a great homecoming. You know, and that's very unlike our boys who returned from Vietnam to be spit on and called baby killers, thanks to the slander and treasonous comments of people like John Kerry. Remember that? Back in the late 60s, now somebody could say he was young, he was foolish, he was young. He says things, you know, sort of like that. But he was young and foolish. Well, in the 60s, how old was I? I was 10. By 1969, I was born in 1959, and I remember in grade school, Catholic grade school, we had debate teams, three against three, I think, and we had a debate in the evenings. Parents came to the school, and the debate was on Vietnam. And I was on the side that argued that not only should we stay in Vietnam, but of course we should attempt to defeat communism because it robs people of freedom. And that was as a kid. That was, how old was I? What grade was that? I think that was fourth grade. Was that fourth grade? I graduated grammar school. That's first through eighth in 1973. So that would have been in 1969. So anyway, John Kerry, he was too young to know better? No. He's evil. He's evil. And people say, well, Bob, then of course you're going to vote for George W. Bush. Well, if Bush would promise me, if Bush would say, Bob, I'm going to stop nominating judges who support child killing, who kill unborn children. If he would say that, then I'd vote for him. Does he owe me personally a promise to stop appointing child killing judges? Yes, he does. And anyone whom he's asking for a vote. If I was in Nazi Germany and there was a good candidate and a bad candidate, and the good candidate was really good, except he said he was personally against the Holocaust, but he appointed judges who supported the right to kill Jews because, well, it was politically correct, then I wouldn't vote for him because it's intentionally getting innocent blood on your hands by slaughtering innocent people. And that's just not defensible. It's indefensible. And so God holds us accountable not for the outcome, but for our own behavior. Right? If you're sharing the gospel with somebody, God doesn't hold you responsible for the person's salvation, but he says, I hold you responsible to warn people. And if you don't warn them, then their blood will be on your hands. But if you do warn them, then their blood is on their hands. And so here at Bob Inert Live, even at Denver Bible Church, we warn George W. Bush that every time he nominates a judge who supports the killing of unborn children, he is an accomplice in the murder of those innocent kids. And if he's a Christian, well, I'm thrilled he's a Christian. And he has the responsibility to know better. And so if he makes that promise and says, Bob, thanks for being one of the Christians out there to warn me so that I could find out before it's too late, before I die, before Judgment Day, I could find out that it's really evil of me to tolerate the killing of innocent children, even promote it by nominating pro-abortion judges. Thanks for pointing that out. And well, so anyway, if he makes that pledge to stop appointing judges who defend the legal killing of innocent children, then I'll be happy to vote for him. Okay. What else is in the news? Oh, yeah. The Chicago Tribune was just at Guantanamo Bay with CNN. And I'm sure the reports will be completely different. CNN is openly hostile to America, it seems to me, when I watch it, which is as infrequently as possible. But the Chicago Tribune report is so interesting because they say that they have learned that recent information from the terrorist detainees we've got at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. For the public school teachers tuning in, we have a base on one end of the island of Cuba, and we hold detainees from our war on terror there, some of them, and we've been interrogating them for a couple years now. And according to the Chicago Tribune, recent information from Guantanamo has derailed plans for attacks in Greece during the Athens Olympics in August, next month, and they have stopped a dozen attacks elsewhere. That's pretty neat to hear. Now, for example, they write up one case. For nearly 2 years, one prisoner refused to talk about terrorist connections. Then, just a few days ago, an interrogator got him chatting. The inmate was puffing on a cigarette, sipping coffee, and eating chocolate cake as he sat for hours in an orange jumpsuit and shackles talking to U.S. operatives in the Gold 12 room of a trailer, must be a big trailer, at the Navy's Guantanamo Bay base in eastern Cuba. An intelligence analyst listened on headphones, watching from behind a two-way mirror while typing the prisoner's disclosures into a U.S. global database on terrorism. At one point, an interrogator rose and gave the detainee an all-American high five. The prisoner laughed. We get pieces of the puzzle, said Esteban Rodriguez, who leads the information gathering teams. Then we compare it to what others have said. We are getting successful intelligence. And, of course, the government has interrogators, military and civilian, have said that they've collected thousands of pages of intelligence at Guantanamo about terrorist cells in America, around the world, and about financing of terrorist operations and the planning of the September 11th attacks. And now, what's happening now at Guantanamo? Well, as we speak, there's an invasion of a completely left-wing type going on at Guantanamo. Hordes of attorneys, lawyers are descending on the island, and that's thanks to the Republican U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court is Republican, right? Seven of the nine justices. It even disturbs me to call them justices, but seven of the nine robes have been appointed by Republican presidents. And yet the court is strongly pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-eighth evolution, pro-socialism, pro-UN, weak on defense. So, example, now the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that these detainees have a right to attorneys challenging their detention. So anyway, well, we got a lot of information while the getting was good. What else is going on? You know, when you fight a war, it's not exactly the same as arresting someone on suspicion of driving away without paying for a tank of gas. It's a little bit different. When you're fighting a war and you get people on the battlefield, you don't assign them all lawyers. And sometimes wars last a while. So this war has been going on since September 11th. Too bad we didn't start it earlier, huh? We should have started the war. But what would the liberals have said then? Right? What if Bush would have attacked Afghanistan on September 10th? The liberals would have been howling like hyenas at the moon. Okay, let's see. What else? In Israel, a new development. Actually, I don't think this is a real new development technologically, but it, as far as it being put in use to fight terrorism, I guess it'll be new. From Tel Aviv, this is a World Tribune article. Israel's largest government-owned defense firm has been developing a system to detect concealed weapons and explosives in order to fight Palestinian suicide bombers. This new system sees through clothing, and it sees vests and belts, and it works. It's working. And, of course, then it's a political decision. How do you implement this? Now, there was on the market in Japan and America a few years ago, major camera companies. I forget exactly which companies. Hitachi. Who sells cameras? Who's big? Canon? I don't know. They were selling cameras, just consumer cameras with infrared, sort of infrared attachments, and they were getting shots, see-through shots, seeing through people's clothing. Now, that supposedly wasn't the purpose. It was night vision equipment, sort of. But they pulled it off the market because, obviously, the invasion of privacy that they introduced, they quickly pulled them off the market, that technology. And so now Israel, they're saying that they've demonstrated this equipment and they could point it at people from quite a distance away, a safe distance away, and see in one demonstration for the Israeli military, they easily saw a firearm and a suicide belt strapped to someone who was fully clothed. And so how do you use technology like this? Of course, the possibility for misuse is tremendous, but the possibility that innocent people are going to be killed by terrorists is pretty much a certainty. So what would be appropriate for this kind of technology is to be used, for example, at checkpoints where Palestinians are entering Jewish areas. And as long as there's sort of a men's and a women's entrance, and men screen the men and women screen the women. And can you perfectly enforce that? No, you can't perfectly enforce anything. But that would be the appropriate way to do it. Now, of course, the liberals, they'll scream bloody murder, right? But notice, like the ACLU, they would hate it because ACLU, that stands for all criminals love us. That's not what it stood for when they started it. When they founded the group, it stood for Anti-Christian Litigation Unit. That was when they started. But before they actually incorporated, the way they first thought of it, it was the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. So the name of it has evolved over time. But anyway, the Antichrist legions of the underworld, thanks to those guys, here in America, if you're in American jail, a prison, a county jail, they've got female guards guarding in the male housing units, and it's just absurd. Guys taking showers, guys in the bathroom, and women guards walking by and looking in. It's just routine. And by the way, you know who that hurts? The inmates, for the most part, they think it's hysterical. And they even provoke, you know, the worst behavior. But it hurts the female guards. They become vulgar. They become crass. They get divorced. They're miserable. They end up having affairs with inmates. So that doesn't happen much? No, that doesn't happen much. So it's just, our whole system is so absurd. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And Israel has built this wall, and now people want the wall, liberals want the wall to come down. You know, Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza, they've come into the Jewish areas with explosives and targeted killing people. And the number of suicide bombings have significantly decreased since the wall went up. And one way for the Jews and the Arabs to live together in peace is to stop killing one another. And good walls make good neighbors, as a general rule. Good walls make for good neighbors. And it's nothing like China or the Soviet Union or East Berlin, where walls went up and people were in prison and they couldn't leave. No, anybody wants to leave, you could leave. As long as somebody will take you, you can leave. But we hope to have Victor Mordecai on the show soon to talk about the wall. And in fact, people recognize that name if they follow Middle East events in Israel, because he's a successful author who's written one book on Islam as a global threat. But Victor Mordecai, he's also that's not his real name. That's his pen name. His real name is Avi Lipkin, and he's a former Israeli former aide to an Israeli prime minister, and he was a spokesman for the Israeli Defense Forces. So we're expecting to have him on to talk about the wall there in Israel. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, this is so exciting. This was handed to me just before I came in the studio. We've been waiting for this for 6 months. Now, see if you could guess what it is by the sound of it. Can you guess what that is? What is that? Here, I'll open the case. Ah, you have a hint. It's a case. Take it out. Now try. What is that? It's a VHS tape. Actually, it'll also be available on DVD of a sequel to Unlocking the Mystery of Life. You know, Unlocking the Mystery of Life is probably the best video ever produced refuting evolution, Darwinism. It's just extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary. And the people who made that video, who produced it, Illustra Media, we've purchased a number of DVDs and VHS copies of Unlocking, and we've sold them over this show and over the internet. So if people go to Google, search for Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, there's some chance they're going to end up buying it from Bob and Yurt Live. And we're thrilled with that because that helps support this show and keeps us on the air. Well, they announced that they were going to come out with a sequel, not about evolution per se, but about the Earth. And, you know, Carl Sagan and evolutionists have said that the Earth – is he dead now? Carl Sagan? Is he the guy who died? Is Carl Sagan still an evolutionist? Is he? I think he's the guy who died a few years ago. If you recall, if that's incorrect, let me know. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. But his whole point was the Earth is insignificant. The earth is insignificant. We're just the speck of dust. We're a rock. There's no purpose. There's no design. It's just an accident of physics. That's it. And that, you know, whenever I see an author or a leading evolutionist making that point, I always thought, wouldn't it be great to invite that person to a debate, a televised debate, and then when they get there, just leave them out of the debate. Just leave them out. Because their point is that the earth is insignificant. And if the earth is insignificant, well then surely they're insignificant. And they would have no reason to think that you have disrespected them or violated any rights they have, because they're an insignificant tumor on an insignificant speck of a rock. So they're insignificant. I always wanted to do that to Stephen Hawking. Remember Stephen Hawking? The guy, the astrophysicist in the wheelchair who's quadriplegic and he can't speak. He speaks with a Microsoft voice simulator. And he says, "Our planet is insignificant. Our planet is insignificant." And so I would love to invite Stephen Hawking onto a show to discuss his theories and then have his wheelchair in the back of the stage and never bring him on. Just leave him back there in the dark. Do the show and say, "Oh, you know what? We forgot Stephen Hawking, but he's insignificant. So what does it matter?" It doesn't matter. At any rate, the folks who made the Unlocking DVD, which is, it aired on, the way we found out about it is that it aired on Channel 6 in Denver, which is our big PBS public broadcasting system TV station in Colorado. It's the biggest public TV station in this whole region of the country. And this anti-evolution video aired on that station. It was shocking. A caller from Colorado Springs told us about it. We couldn't believe our ears. And so we found out about it, and sure enough, this program had been airing on PBS stations all around the country. And we got copies and have been selling them ever since. And that's helped support Bob and Your Live. Well, at the time, they announced that they were working on a sequel, not about biological evolution per se, but about the Earth. And is the Earth just an insignificant speck of dust? And I've got it in my hands. Now, it's not going to be released until August. That's the release day is later in August. But this is July 15th, and we have ready here at Bob and Your Live, we've got a screener's copy. And so we plan to immediately order a number of cases of the DVDs and the VHS tapes. And let's see, what does it say here on the back cover? "The Privileged Planet" is the name of this video. "Many scientists and philosophers have claimed that Earth is just a speck of dust adrift without purpose or significance in a vast cosmic sea. Yet current astronomical evidence seems to suggest just the opposite." This thing is narrated by John Rhys Davies. He's from The Lord of the Rings. He's Gimli. So it's going to be cool just to hear him. At any rate, if you want an early copy of this, if you want to get one of the first, call us at 1-800-8-NYART. We sell them for $24.95, the VHS or the DVD. And, of course, that helps Bob and Yart Live to stay on the air when you buy from us instead of Barnes & Noble or wherever you're going to buy. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. 1-800-836-9278. In Denver, Ryan, speak your mind.
Hey, what's going on?
Things are going well. What's up?
Awesome. Well, I was giving you guys a call because I was looking for a youth group.
Yeah.
I just moved from outside of Washington State, and I moved to Denver with my family.
All right, cool.
Pretty active group going. You know, we were not traditional. We were the modern, you could say, youth group. You know, extremely active. You know, our youth pastor and pastor were, like, almost identically personal. You know, the personalities, they were really alike, and
right.
your hip and everything.
All right.
Yeah.
And so you have a family?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a family myself. I'm a youth.
You're okay. You fit in. So your parents, your parents moved in here.
Yeah, my parents both got new jobs, and so they moved, and it was very devastating for everybody. But I'm just trying to, you know, I actually didn't mean to get what I called, but I just so happened to.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. Well, listen, Ryan, let me tell you, at Denver Bible Church, we were planted. We're a small church.
Mm-hmm.
We were planted by a Bible church across town, Derby mm-hmm. Bible Church, in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
With about 30 people, and we now have about 75 people or so.
Mm-hmm.
On a big Sunday, 80 or 90 people. So we're growing slowly,
mm-hmm.
But
you are growing.
Yeah, we're growing. We're preaching the gospel. We're discipling people. And the exciting thing about Denver Bible Church is the families are such a good example to one another of raising kids and strong marriages. But, Ryan, we're not too excited about youth groups. Are you there? We lost Ryan?
Yep. Sorry. Oh. I'm sorry, what was that?
We're not really excited about youth groups.
Why not?
It's not like we have a rule or a law that says you can't have a youth group. It's a sin.
Uh-huh.
But as a general rule, youth groups, I think youth groups produce about as much grief as they produce positive results.
Give me some examples. I mean, I definitely understand you, but I want to get a good point of view on that.
For example, I've been on the air for 12 years now, and I've asked people all over the country, go to some, you know, random person involved in a church youth group, and I ask them if the youth group sometimes is like a meat market, where young guys go, the young girls in the church are used almost as bait to attract men to teenage boys. Young teenage men to the church. Mm-hmm. And so there are these good-looking girls that meeting every Wednesday night, Friday night.
Yeah.
And so these guys go, they have no interest in God whatsoever, and they end up dating the girls. They end up who's doing drugs, who's bringing pot, who's doing what. And so we think that generally when you get a large number of teenagers together, and especially you mix guys and gals – it's not a good idea if the ratio of kids to adults is a large number.
Yeah, I definitely get you on that.
Yeah, so we say if the youth at Denver Bible Church are going to do something, it's going to be with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really we have seen through the most, you know, firsthand painful examples of the downside of youth groups. And so we don't make a law that says a youth group is a sin to have a youth group.
Yeah, I can understand it's more of a just kind of a gut feeling.
Yeah, we don't want to use the young girls of Denver Bible Church as bait to attract teenage testosterone-filled men to the church.
Yeah, I definitely just off the top of my head, I mean, it sounds like it's a definite concern, and I think it's completely legitimate, and I could definitely, you know, feel you on that. Something that a question, you know, it's.
Hey Ryan, we're about out of time. This is a half hour show.
Oh, okay.
But I want to thank you for calling in and cordially invite you to come on out to Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
All right.
And call in again, okay?
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Ryan. Appreciate that. Welcome to Colorado. We're out of time. If you want the Privileged Planet, call us up 800-8-NYAR. And you could pre-order DVDs or VHS copies, and I think you'll love it. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the cost.